I would like for you to join in the reading with me from the Psalm, the first one. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. We in the Southeastern Seminary family have in a very real and profound way reaped the fruits of a good man who has brought forth his fruit in season and out of season, and we will savor its good taste for many a year to come. So we thank you for sharing today in this celebration of the life of our friend, colleague, as well as a friend of God, Theodore Floyd Adams. Theodore is an interesting word. In it is the word God, Theos, and Adore. One who adores, loves God. I don't know whether there were prophetic visions in the minds of the parents of the man who named Theodore Floyd Adams that name, but he was well named. We will know him and love him and remember him as one who pointed us to the God he loved from the top of his mind to the bottom of his heart. Our friend was born on September 26, 1898, at Palmyra, New York. His parents were Floyd H. and Evelyn Parks Adams. He was educated in the public schools of McMinnville, Oregon, Lebanon, and Hammond, Indiana. In 1921, he received the Bachelor of Arts degree from his alma mater, Denison University, in Granville, Ohio, and then in 3 years, the Bachelor of Divinity at the Rochester Theological Seminary in New York. Dr. Adams, from the years 1938 through 1968, 30 years of ministry, had that ministry punctuated by the following honorary degrees bestowed upon him. In 1938, the University of Richmond bestowed a D.D. degree. In 1940, Denison University bestowed a D.D. In 1940, also, the College of William and Mary bestowed their D.D. In 1958, Baylor University granted him a Doctor of Divinity degree. In 1958, Washington and Lee University did the same. In 1959, Stetson University granted our friend a Doctor of Divinity. In 1959, also Hampton Sydney University presented him with an LHD degree. In 1962, McMaster University bestowed a DD. And in 1964, Kuka College, the alma mater of his beloved wife Esther, granted him an LLD degree. And then in 1968, Wake Forest University gave him his Doctorate of Divinity. It's not unusual for us to have known him as a skilled scholar. Therefore, it's not surprising that he was a member of Phi Beta Kappa at Denison, and Beta Theta Pi at Denison, and Phi Mu Alpha and Omicron Delta Kappa, and other very recognized and reputable social, professional, and academic fellowships. Our friend, from his bones out, was a minister of Jesus Christ. He was ordained to that ministry to become a Baptist clergyman in 1924 by his church in Rochester, New York. He served four pastorates: the Cleveland Heights Baptist Church in Cleveland, Ohio, the Ashland Avenue Baptist Church in Toledo, Ohio, the First Baptist Church in Richmond, Virginia, and then I really recognize his service here as also a pastoral one, because he was on our campus for 11 years, not only as a professor of preaching, but as a counselor to our students. At his death, he was the pastor emeritus of the beloved First Baptist Church in Richmond, which he served from 1936 to 1968. Our friend had been the vice president of the Baptist Young People's Union of America, the president of the Ohio Baptist Young People's Union. He had been a member of the Board of Promotion of the Ohio Baptist Convention. He'd have been a member of the Baptist World Alliance Executive Committee. He'd been a member of the Foreign Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention, the president of the Virginia Baptist Children's Homes, the president of the Baptist World Alliance. At the time of his death, he was the only living president of that body who was a Southern Baptist. His years of service were 1955 to 1960. He served as a moderator of the Richmond Baptist Association, as a trustee on the Council of Religion and International Affairs, the vice president of the Board of Directors of CARE, and for long years, a member of the Board of Directors of the Rockefeller Fund for Theological Education. We knew him as teacher, researcher, scholar, theologian, writer. We knew him as pastor, priest, prophet. We loved him most of all as friend. He was the author of Making Your Marriage Succeed in 1953, Making the Most of What Life Brings in 1957, Tell Me How in 1964, and Baptists Around the World in 1967. Dr. Adams was incomplete without Esther with him. Her thoughts in many ways were his thoughts. They were married on February 26, 1925, and were the very happy parents of three children and the grandparents of eight grandchildren. I've asked some of the colleagues who knew him best and who worked the very closest with him to share further in this memorial celebration.
Let us hear the reading of a lesson from the Old Testament as found in the 91st Psalm. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh at noon in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample underfoot. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And the lesson from the New Testament, as it is found in 1 John 4, beginning with verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Let us pray. Almighty God, Father of mercies, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our own gracious Father, hear the prayers and supplications of thy children in behalf of thy servant Theodore Adams, and those who love him and have cherished the fellowship which they have shared with him through all the days past. We're grateful for his life. We thank thee for the ministries which he effected in his years of service in thy name. And we're grateful that in thy providence, our lives and his life somehow came to be interrelated. We are grateful for those times when, in the sharing of love and faith, our lives can be enriched by the love and the fellowship of those who walk very closely with thee. And so we come today to give thee our grateful thanks for what Ted Adams has meant to all of us, and to pray for thy mercies and the healing of thy Spirit as thy Holy Spirit walks with those of us who cherish his memory and those who loved him so dearly. Let the bright glow of his countenance and the friendly warmth of his voice and the deep devotion of his life be a cherished memory and to us an influence for good to strengthen us in faith and love as we recall day by day that which thou hast done with us and in us and for us in the life of thy servant. Bless, we pray thee, all that he has meant and all that he shall continue to mean to all those who knew him, and even to those who knew him not, but who have felt somehow the touch and the influence of his good life. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, his Lord and our Lord. Amen.
A colleague once said of Gilbert Murray, the great classical scholar, he was not a little brook, but a great river fed by many tributaries. Such is the magnitude of the man we remember today. The accolades that acclaimed Dr. Adams' 32-year ministry at the First Baptist Church in Richmond for 32 years, had scarcely faded in 1968 when he arrived in Wake Forest, bag and baggage, to inaugurate at almost 70 a whole new career. With modesty and zest, he entered upon his labors with us, for he thought of no office he ever occupied as a throne. It was an altar where life was laid down. Believing as I do with the poet that our echoes roll from soul to soul, I hold before us in memory today three refrains from his years with us that we as his colleagues will long remember and lovingly cherish. I mention first his perception and presentation of the gospel. He brought to the teaching of preaching a concept of the word in its many splendored reality as good tidings of great joy. His ecumenical spirit enabled him to see an opulence to the Christian faith that could never be fully measured by Baptist inventory. He did not make the gospel too small, too confident, too easy. Dr. Adams sensed profoundly that ministry in the church is always an uneasy struggle between skill and transcendent mystery. And he knew better than most that we who are such strange mixtures of dust and divinity are always fragile bearers of that mystery. Thus, one never heard in him the glibness of a slick rhetorician or the pompous pretensions of a prima donna. Secondly, I would honor today his respect for truth and the human mind. Dr. Adams' life was ordered by reason and grace. A Phi Beta Kappa record at Denison University gave early evidence of his academic seriousness. His intellectual processes were marked not by arid rationality, but by upsurges of vitality. His mind was refractive as well as reactive, for he was lured by the environs as well as the road. It is no accident that he aspired to teach in his later years, for he devoutly believed that the mind has an ultimate value in existence and that work done in the service of truth is our piety. He had an innate trust, not only in God, but in the power of truth. Hence his wide hospitality to ideas and the explorative thrust of his spirit. In the classroom and in the pulpit, he felt no need to wear the resplendent armor of a warrior of God or to mount a gun on the dogmatic ramparts. Then thirdly, we as a faculty in particular will always remember his ministry of affirmation. There was a buoyant and exalted quality in his happy and vivid temperament. He seemed to be graced by private illuminations. His warm compassion enabled him to bear with patience our human frailty and finitude. I remember a word about St. Francis of Assisi that also marked his life. He walked this earth as the pardon of God. He raised us to the deeper levels of our being because He was one of the rarest concentrations of the Christian graces we have known. No work of ours as His colleagues went unnoticed, for He was quick to say, "Well done," often spoken quietly and unobtrusively. Dr. Adams furnished to all of us the nourishing evidence that finally nothing matters on this earth but moral purpose, and that the highest use of life is to spend it for that which will outlast it. He helped us all to see that we have but one thing to give, ourselves. One way to give it, in love, and one hope for the giving, that God may be glorified. He belongs to that luminous company, immortalized by the words of Browning: "Through such souls alone, God stooping, shows sufficient of His light for us in the dark to rise." And we rise.
Amen. In these moments of united remembrance, I should like to present a personal appreciation of Dr. Theodore Adams, whose work I have admired and whose friendship I have enjoyed for 45 years. Everything I know about the mind and ministry of Dr. Adams is consonant with the affirmation that he was a man of prayer and that his strength as a spiritual leader in the United States and in other lands sprang from his sincere, humble dependence upon God. His alert and informed mind, his coherent interpretation of life, his love and understanding of people, including persons hurt by harsh circumstances, his patient search for constructive solutions of complex and perilous problems, his wise decisions, and his amazing capacity for excellent work on vocational tasks were inspired and sustained by communion with the Lord, who is able to do more than we ask or think, and whose kingdom cannot be shaken. We remember, as we have been reminded, that Dr. Adams preached the gospel of the grace of God, which has not lost its power to penetrate to the roots of sin in the human heart and to transform every person who repents and believes. The truth and love he proclaimed were reflected in the radiance of his face and in the sound of his voice. His messages were eagerly sought and heard by wistful souls in many lands. In selective memory, I can hear him now as he began a sermon in 1948 entitled, "A House with a Home Inside." He said, "Last summer in England, I visited in the home of a lovely English couple. As I saw them standing in the doorway of their home, I understood something of their spirit when I saw the motto over the entrance, 'Lord, make my house thine until thine is mine.'" We are grateful that Dr. Adams, who had served with outstanding effectiveness as pastor of the First Baptist Church in Richmond, Virginia, and as president of the Baptist World Alliance, came to this campus in 1968 as visiting professor of preaching. He touched and enriched every dimension of life and work in this community of learning and service. He encouraged us to seek a deeper knowledge of God, a greater love of one another, and a stronger devotion to our Lord and His church. For more than 10 years, he and Mrs. Adams gave us the habitual vision of true greatness, a great faith in God, a great confidence in the power of truth, a great capacity for worship and ministry, and a great hope for the future. You and I will remember Theodore Adams not only as a distinguished religious leader, but also as a dear friend who knew how to speak the truth in love and to face the future, not knowing what a day might bring forth, with wisdom and courage. He was a pioneer of faith and righteousness, whose last unhurried conversation with us was filled with thoughts of additional resources for this school, of a planned visit to China in May, and of the presentation of the report of the Long Range Planning Committee to the Baptist World Alliance in July. He was, as Browning said, one who never turned his back, but marched breast forward, never doubted clouds would break, never dreamed, though right were worsted, wrong would triumph, held we fall to rise, are baffled to fight bitter, sleep to wake. Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank thee for the assurance that thy servant is safely at home with thee, and we humbly ask for thy blessing upon this multitude of thy people, upon each member of the Adams family, and upon all who truly love and serve thee. Amen.